No one has the ability, or no one has demonstrated, or no one can articulate or put in words how he or she feels than the psalmist David. David has a way of saying what he feels. And the way he says it in such a way that all of us can identify with it. He's very articulate, but not only is he articulate, but I do believe that David is perhaps one of the most eloquent. Or David, should I say then, he's not only eloquent, but he's probably one of the most brilliant writers in the entire Bible. He writes from his heart, and he has the ability to coordinate what his head and his heart is saying, and he makes it so plain that you and I can understand it. Look at the 34th Psalm. We said that this psalm is nothing more than David declaring or making a proclamation. David is doing something out of the ordinary. He wants to declare publicly that God has done something miraculously for him. And he began with the words by saying, I will bless the Lord. How long will he bless the Lord? He said, I just won't bless him today, neither will I just bless him tonight. He said, I will bless the Lord. How long? At all time. What else? And his praise for what he has done in my life will always be in my mouth. And I had to say to myself, that's good to know. In verse 3, after telling us how he would bless the Lord, if you remember, he invites the reader then to do something out of the ordinary with him. What is that something that he invites us to do out of the ordinary? If you remember what he says in verse 3, what did he say?
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together.
We looked at the word magnify, and we said this word magnify simply means to make a God larger, to make a God bigger. And so, in other words, what David is literally saying to us, he sends the invitation out to us and says, come, join me. I want you to join me in making God bigger. Why? Because the God that I'm talking about is so big. He is bigger than that which is in me. So he says, I want you to help me magnify him, make him bigger so the world can see who he is. But not only that, when you magnify him, he says, I want you to lift him up.
Yes.
Exalt him. Is that all right? Psalms 34. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man trusted. If you look at the entire chapter, what you're finding is David uses this word, oh, three particular times. And in each time, verse 8, 9, and verse 3, he uses it to express how he was feeling, and he invites us to do it. It's that oh word again. You remember we talked about it, oh, magnify the Lord? Now he says what? Oh, taste. And the question that you must ask is, what is it that David is asking me to taste so that I can see it? What is it that David wants me to taste first in my life so that I can see it? In other words, what he's saying is, if you don't taste what I'm telling you to taste, you can't see what I want you to see. So first you have to taste it. But let's look at the old word. This word, I love this. It's a very interesting word, and whenever it is used, have you not known, whenever you use this O word, it is always to express an emotion. Use it in any context you so desire, and it is always to express an emotion. Oh, sweetheart. Oh, baby. Oh, don't do that. Oh, go ahead and do it. Ooh, oh. Ooh, oh. Have you seen? Whenever this word oh is used, it is always to use to express an emotion. Now, I can tell you, you can put some descriptive adjectives to it. It is still expressing your emotion, but it's like, oh, you can fill any other word in you want, but it's still coming from the heart. It is always to express a feeling. I love you. It's a feeling here that everybody uses. We all use this old word. The point I want to show you this morning, the O word is also an invitation. So the first question that David is saying to you, he's saying, oh, taste and see.
Yeah.
Oh, taste and see. Here is what I want you to see. The David is very metaphoric. What David is literally doing here for all of you is simply he's mixing metaphors. And what's so interesting in mixing these metaphors, he's using taste and see, which are all sensory. In other words, what's this? To taste something, you can't taste it if you don't put it in your mouth. In other words, what David says to you, oh, taste. When you taste it, when you put that something in your mouth, your taste buds activate. And your taste buds in your mouth will tell you whether it's good or bad, whether it's sweet or sour. And whatever it is labeled as sweet or sour, that is sends the message now where? To your tongue, to tell your tongue, swish it around and swallow it, or tell the tongue, spit it out. But one thing you will do whenever you taste this, guess what? You taste it and you remember what it tastes like. In other words, it's like pound cake. I love pound cake. Mama makes the best pound cake in the world that I am referencing to. I label that pound cake, and I don't care who you are. Mama pound cake tastes better than your potato pie or any other cake. Why? Because I remember it. So this, if you look, he says, taste and see. They're verbs. And what he's literally saying, verbs tells. But for a verb to tell, it's telling you to do something. You can't, a verb does not act on its own. A verb tells you something and you do. So what does David say? He said, taste. Taste mama's pound cake. And what do you see after you taste mama's pound cake? The question is, what is it that David still wants me to taste before I can see? And it is interesting, he answers his own proposition. Taste and see. What is it he wants you to see? The question you're going to ask, how do I know that the Lord is good? You don't know that the Lord is good for David. So how do you know that the Lord is good? You can never answer that question without going back up to verse 4. David has a message in this. What is David saying here? David says what?
I saw the Lord and heard me, and delivered me from all my fears.
In other words, what David is saying here is this. For me to answer the taste question, you have to know what I did. He said, I was in trouble.
Come on, man.
And I sought the Lord. He said, I had problems, but I sought the Lord. I was sick. Last year, you don't know what I've been through. I thought I wouldn't make it. You counted me out. But God didn't. He said, when I was in trouble, what did I do? I sought the Lord. What do I mean by sought? What does the word sought mean? In other words, if the word sought, somebody say, I looked for the Lord. In other words, I sought the Lord, meaning I turned. When I couldn't turn to you, I turned to Him. When I couldn't share what was going on in my life with you, I shared it with Him. When you thought I wouldn't make it, I turned to Him. When you gave up on me, I turned to Him. When I was in trouble, I turned to Him. turning to him, sought is also called. Because when one turns to God, he turns to him how? In prayer. David is making a proclamation. He's saying, when I was in trouble one day, I turned. I sought the Lord. And when I sought the Lord, something happened in my life.
Oh yeah.
What is it that happened, David is attempting to say? What does he say? He says, I sought the Lord. And he what?
He heard me.
Anybody have ever been at the place in your life when you knew that you wouldn't have made it, but you turned to him? Anybody know what David is talking about? Anybody ever have been in trouble? Or maybe it's not you in trouble, but the kids are in trouble, and you knew that they couldn't come out of it, but you turned to God when everybody said no, God said yes, because you turned to him, and when you turned to him, he didn't turn from you, but he turned to you, and when he turned to you, he turned it around. When I sought him, he turned it around. Everybody thought I couldn't make it, but thanks be to God this morning, I'm standing up in front of you and I'm telling you, last year I wouldn't think I wouldn't make it. I knew I wasn't going to make it, but God did this for me. Anybody want God to turn something around for you? Then give him the praise. So the question is still this: what is it that David still wants me to taste? David wants me to taste the magnificence of God. David wants me to taste the awesomeness of God. But more importantly, David wants me to taste how good. He wants me to taste how God brought you through. Personalize it. David wants me to taste how God brought me through, how God brought me out of, how last year God was so good. David wants me to taste how God brought me through when I remember what God has done for me. Only when you've been through something can you write statements like this. If you ain't never been through nothing, this ain't for you. Some of you are looking and acting like you ain't never been through something. It's your business. I ain't getting in your business. I'm just saying what I'm saying. But let me tell you, if you only knew what God has done for me, and you tell me sometimes you praise, you see somebody praising God and you're saying, oh, she needs to just shut up. She always praising God. If you knew what God had done for him, and if he had done the same thing for you, you would be praising him too. If I told you what he had done for me, you would be praising him like I'm praising him. David says, when you taste and what God has done for me, then you will know what the goodness of God is. You can't tell somebody what the goodness of God is till you experience the goodness of God. That's why the author say, when you do what God wants you to do, and when God turn it around for you, the Bible says, and the goodness and mercy shall follow me, not just this morning, but all the days of my life, and I will.
Come on, Pastor. Come on.
Goodness and mercy will not, it will follow you all the days of your life, and when it follows you, David said, you know what? You need to stay in the church. Some of you, when goodness and mercy get in your life, you leave the church. David says, I'll stay in the church as long as I can. Goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy. When you taste what God has done for you, you will see the goodness of God where? Because David, a little bit further, when he talks about magnify, he says, oh, taste and see. And last, he says something. He says, you need to take refuge in him. The word refuge means somewhere. It means covering. It means hiding. It means protecting. When he puts his arms of protection around you, I dare you. You see, you're sitting here, but you don't understand. But the person sitting next to you, you don't know what they've been through just to come here this morning. God had to turn some stuff around in their own family for them to be here this morning. Hell was being raised all night last night, but they are here this morning for one reason, and that is to praise God for all that he's doing in your life. And if God has turned anything around for you, you just have to give him 1 minute of praise. And I heard somebody said, he's not only good, but somebody one day said, he said, but he's so good. He's not just good. He is so good. If I told you about the goodness of God in my life this morning, you wouldn't know what to do with it. God has been so good in my own life. He has turned things around for me. And every now and then, I ought to tell him, I love you. I ought to tell him, thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Oh, but he's good. He's good. So good. Real good. Oh, he's good. Come on, choir, and sing. You ought to know it, he's good.
I will bless the Lord at all times, he's good. I will bless the Lord at all times, he's good. I will bless the Lord at all times, he's good.
Listen, God has worked so many wonders in our lives. In my own personal lives, he had worked so many wondrous things. Oftentimes when I admit and would like to catalog all the things that God has done for me. It would take novels. But I'm not just the only person God has been good to. Each of us have a testimony of what He has done and are doing. That God is working in your life. And you would like to say yes to Him in so many ways. But so many things have been preventing you from doing that, but that you'd like to say yes, Lord.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Whatever yes means, or whatever the results may be after yes, only Him knows. The doors of the church may be one way for you to express your yes to the Lord. I don't know. Maybe He's leading you to join this church, or perhaps leading you to another church, or leading you in some other areas of your lives. This morning you'd like to say yes to Him. Keep in mind, however, that by saying yes, it may be against the grain of things. When you say yes this morning, it may be a challenge for you to change some things in your life. In other words, what I'm saying is, yes this morning may be, it's winter is coming. And when winter comes, we now goes into the closet and we get winter coats. Winter is a time where in which, just like spring, we kind of shift things around in the house. So yes this morning may mean you shifting some things around in your life, shifting some furniture around. All I'm saying is that whatever the yes may mean in your life this morning, I dare you to do it with one remembrance. And He says to you this morning, when you say yes, here's what I'm going to do for you. Because you are afraid, and you have been afraid of saying yes for months and years, but this morning He wants me to tell you that by you saying yes, here's what He will do. He will continue to keep His promise. What is God's promise to you? Here it is. Keep this in mind. I will never forsake you. God never, Jesus Christ never breaks His promise. Promises can be broken, but He never broke a promise that He made. He says, I will never leave you as orphaned. An orphaned is one, when one births a child and doesn't want the child, you leave it at the hospital, you leave it on the doorsteps, you just leave it and walk away. What He wants me to tell you this morning, when you say yes, you have just given birth to a faith that is hooked up to Him, and He will never leave you if you're connected to Him. When you're connected to Him and He's connected to you, He will not leave you. You may leave Him, but He won't walk away.